that, you're listening to the HuffPost UK Entertainment Podcast, Intuit. I'm Daniel Welsh, and I'm joined, as ever, by Ash Percival. This week, Rachel's in Glastonbury, so we've got Francesca Syrett with us.
Hello.
Hiya. Wonder what Rachel is up to right now. Probably best not to pursue that avenue, actually. This week, we'll be discussing disastrous celebrity singing careers, reflecting on outrageous dating shows, and debating whether it's okay to drop a spoiler on someone. But before all that, I want to talk about the two biggest reality TV shows right now, Love Island and Big Brother. So they launched on the same night. Was it this month? They
launched on the same beginning of June. Where are we? June, yeah, this month.
And they started off level pegging, both doing a good enough job. And since then, Love Island is absolutely trouncing Big Brother in the ratings. It's pulling in nearly twice as many people. Meanwhile, Big Brother fans are calling out Channel 5 for saying that they're trying to turn the show into Love Island thanks to the arrival of three new contestants this week who were brought in as part of a dating challenge. Ash, you're the person who knows everything about both of these shows, so I'm going to come to you first. First off, what are the fundamental differences between Love Island and Big Brother this year and in general?
So I think in general, they're not actually hugely different in terms of what they offer, and certainly the premises is people living in a house on both shows. But where Love Island sort of differentiates itself from Big Brother is it's got a format point. So, you know, Love Island is based around coupling up with someone, and it's a game in that if you're not in a couple, you get voted off the island. So there's
a game that I like to call life. Sorry, I'm just bitter. Please continue.
So, you know, there is that kind of extra element that Big Brother doesn't have. So kind of where you get a bit bored with just watching people like sit, I think that's got an extra level of interest to keep people hooked. And I think that's kind of why Love Island is just killing it at the moment.
So what do you think is the main thing that Love Island's got over Big Brother that's pulling in the viewers?
Well, I think Love Island, it's just beautiful to watch. Like, they're in a Spanish villa. It's always sunny. They're always in the outdoors. The villa looks beautiful on camera. Obviously, the people aren't, like, exactly horrible to look at. Even though they might be horrible people.
Oh, that's nice. But at least, even if they're rotten on the inside, at least they're nice to look at.
But, you know, like, compare it to Big Brother in a sort of a dingy house in sort of northest, deepest, darkest London when it's kind of raining. Well, I know it hasn't been raining this week, but usually when it's raining and it's cold and it's, you know, when you look at them on camera, Love Island just pops on camera,
I think.
And
also, how many series has Love Island been around for now?
This is number 3.
So, like, what, Big Brother's, what, 13?
18. Like, literally, beyond 13.
Where
this is
the
18th series of Big Brother.
Are people just not a bit, like, same old, just, like, bored with it? Whereas I know Love Island is, you know, 3 years, but it's still quite fresh and quite new to a lot of audiences, clearly, given the ratings. Yeah. So is it more that people just want to watch something different rather than they know what they're going to expect from Big Brother?
I think that's probably true, because, I mean, Big Brother, every year they try and bring in new elements, especially since it's been on Channel 5. So they always bring in new twists. They had, like, a time bomb twist where it was going back in time and past housemates. They had the power trip twist where the different housemates were getting power, which was interesting. It was tweaks to the format. This year, the whole appeal was the United Kingdom of Big Brother, where the idea was that they're going to show British society at its best, at its most diverse, at its most multicultural, at its most varied. Ash, what do you think they've done? Do you think they've done a good job of that?
I don't think they did that. I just think they cast a load of reality show rejects, to be honest. I think it's kind of like Z-list celebrity Big Brother.
The thing is, with Big Brother, if you were looking for an alternative to Love Island, I think night number one, it would be great. But it feels like, so last night we saw Rebecca get evicted. It feels like the older people are all getting evicted, and also the more diverse housemates are also getting kicked out. And I know Sukhvinder walked of her own account, but it feels like the thing that was making it different from Love Island, that's now fallen by the wayside, and they're bringing in three new attractive young white people in. And so the whole premise has kind of died on its arse a bit.
So it smacks to me, like, Channel 5 are running scared. As you said earlier, it's like it's getting half the numbers that Love Island is. So Love Island is like 1.5 million, I think, just over. Mm-hmm. Big Brother's not even pulling in 1 million viewers at the moment. And it's the lowest that the show's ever sort of rated. And I'm not surprised, like, at all. Like, Big Brother are just, they're panicking. They're like, right, we're going to launch on the same night as Love Island. Love Island state their claim first because they always launch on the Monday after Britain's Got Talent finishes. Big Brother never launches on a Monday, never has launched on a Monday. So yeah. They were like, right, come on, Love Island, bring it. We're going to launch the same night as you. And since it's become apparent that people are just watching Love Island, Big Brother are just like scrambling on their feet thinking, right, what can we do that's going to pull like Love Island people in?
Well, that's the thing, though. They did launch on the same night, as you've just said, and they launched to the same number of viewers.
Yeah.
You know, Love Island and Big Brother, considering they started at the same time, they brought in this around the same figures. So why do you think people are switching off Big Brother?
Well, I think Big Brother's interesting because more people always watch night one.
Can I say, I don't watch Big Brother, but I will always watch opening nights.
There you go. Exactly.
Like,
that's my point.
Yeah.
People
want to
see
that.
You want to see who goes in, right?
Yeah.
And then what happens? Do you just go, oh, actually, I've seen it now. Why would I want to watch anymore?
Yeah, and then, like, night one, I might watch. And then I go, oh, actually, it's just everything that I've ever watched before and Big Brother is the same again. Like, I feel like I'm watching the same series. So then I just switch off.
So, I mean, I tend to watch Big Brother. I've stopped watching it now because life is just too short, isn't it? But I don't watch Love Island either in both of their defences. So you go through the same process every year of putting on Big Brother and literally just switching off.
Yeah,
after,
every like after, without
after
fail.
The second episode.
Because I'll get really excited that it's starting around and I'm like, yeah, opening night, let's watch it, see who's in. And then I just go, oh my God, I'm just doing the same thing with my life this year again and I just don't want to watch it.
Ash, you mentioned the whole visual aspect of Love Island drawing in people and people want to watch attractive people and people want to watch attractive surroundings and, you know, the personalities of maybe second to just look at niceness. Is that really justification, though? Like, is that really a good thing?
No, but I think the world is just so shit at the moment. There's so much crap going on in the world that Love Island is pure escapism, and it's not dressing itself up as anything, but it is just a reality show that's silly and fun and stupid, but it's not pretending that it's, like, intellectual or funny. It's complete escapism, and I think that's why it's attracting people, because there is so much shit going on in the world at the moment and people just want to take an hour out of that shower of shite to watch something nice.
Yeah, to watch something that doesn't require much thinking. I mean, I've said I don't watch Love Island because I'm basically avoiding things that don't have gay people in them these days, and so I'm not watching Love Island because there's no gay people in it. Francesca, you don't watch either. Which one would you be most compelled to watch if someone said you need to commit yourself for the next 3 weeks?
I think it would be Love Island. I think the whole thing I have about it is that I think I know that I would really enjoy it. Yeah. Like, I know I would, and I know I would be sucked into it. But what I hate is reading the stories the next day about how, like, the guys are sexist and the show's format is not great because it's a bit sexist towards women. I just think, oh, God, I don't actually really want to commit myself to watch a programme like that.
Yeah.
So, but then at the same time, I know that I would be a hypocrite and that once I started it,
yeah, Love Island's definitely not without, like, its criticism. There's definite points where you can be like, right, it needs gay people, it needs men that treat women better. It's, but if you take it for what it is, if you ignore the problematic side of Love Island,
I just don't want to go there. I just don't want to. But I would be more inclined to watch that because Big Brother, as I said like a minute ago, I feel like I've been there, done that. I just need something different.
With Big Brother, I feel very disappointed this series because it started off really appealing to me as a reality TV fan and somebody who cares about social issues and all that sort of stuff. I thought this is going to be really interesting watching all of these different unique people interacting, and what it's turned into is just the same thing it has for the past 10 years. A load of people sat around talking about who they fancy, not even like action on it, not even getting involved, just talking about who they fancy and then what arguing. I just think if I want to hear people talk about who they fancy and argue, I'll just take my headphones off in the office. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I need.
I'm the hardcorest Big Brother fan. Like, I've watched every series bar one when I was like moving house. And this is the first year that I've given up. I've like just given up.
Why? Why
can't.
This year?
Mainly because I've been sucked into Love Island, and committing to two long running reality shows is a commitment, and it's one I can't give. But also just, I watched Love Island first because it's on at 9. Then you flick over to Big Brother at 10. It's just like, God, this is just so boring.
Do you think that's what it is then? Do you think people who are like you who would watch both, Big Brother's just like a come down after Love Island?
Yeah, totally. Like, that's how I feel. I'm like, oh God, like, you sit and watch Love Island and I'm there with my housemate, just like, we're talking about who we want to see couple up and all of that. And you flick over to Big Brother and like, my God, this is dull.
So do you think you'd be more inclined to watch Big Brother if it was on at the same time as Love Island, so you weren't quite so tempted?
Well, now that I'm hooked on Love Island, like, Love Island would win.
Oh, so the genie's 100%. Already at the bottle.
But you know what? Celebrity Big Brother, bring it on, because I always enjoy Celebrity Big Brother, so...
Where's that started?
After this series finishes.
Yeah.
It's just the same.
Opening night, I will be there.
Day two, not much. Shall we talk about Katie Price? Because she's got a new single, everyone. It's called I Got You, and it's not great. So she performed it on Loose Women earlier this week, and it was absolutely...
I Got You. That's me doing.
That was genuinely better than Katie Price's rendition. And I mean, that is not high praise.
God,
for
you
Ashley.
Never sing. You never praise my singing.
No, I do not. But in this one instance, you got to call a spade. And as you would say, a turd a turd. She performed it on Loose Women this week. And it was absolutely torn apart on Twitter. All right. We don't have Katie Price here, but we do have Ash Percival doing his fabulous Katie Price impression. So this is what she said on Twitter. It's down at the bottom.
Hello, it's Pricey. I enjoyed myself, living my dream. I can't win if I sing live or mum, but I don't care.
Oh my God, that was so offensive.
Oh, thank you.
That was Katie Price in the studio, everybody. Yeah, so she doesn't care, clearly. But is it fair to hold someone like Katie Price to the same standards as professional singers? When obviously she's not had the same training as, you know...
She's no Mariah.
She's no Mariah. Well, actually, I think she probably is Mariah. It's probably a bad example. But she's no, you know, she's no Adele, is she?
No. No, she's not going to be giving an Adele a run for her money anytime soon.
Francesca, what do you reckon? Because you look poised and ready. Do you think it's fair to slag her off when she hasn't had the same amount of experience as other pop stars?
Do you know what? It absolutely is. If Katie Price wants to release a song, put music out there, become a pop star like she says that she wants to be, then she should be holding herself accountable to the other standards that want to be singing on whatever shows they want to do. What I've got an issue with is the fact that people are like absolutely slating her for the wrong reasons. So she was dreadful. Like, let's not beat around the bush here. But
yeah, you go
tell
in.
Us what you think.
I'm ready.
But I feel like so behind her because she's like, my management don't support me. I've not really had many singing lessons, but actually I really want to do this and no one can tell me that I can't. So if people are going to willing to put her like on Loose Women and let her sing it and on Big Brother, then like go for it. And like, I'll fully support that.
Well, she can pay for it as well, can't she? So it's like her money. Like she can do what the fuck she wants.
Yeah, I admire her gall. Like I do like the fact that she's just gone out and gone, do you know what? I want to do this. I'm already mega famous. I don't care if I look like a bit of a tit, which clearly she doesn't care about because she does. I'm into it, to be honest. It's a shame the song is so bad.
I know.
It's really bad.
A few years ago, she released Free to Love Again, and I absolutely love that song. I still listen to that on a semi-regular basis. And even though she can't sing, I could get behind that song because it was a good song. It was a decent enough... I mean, I love pop music anyway. I love sort of trashy, mindless pop music. So I'm ready to get behind Katie Price, but it's just a shame the song is so bad.
She's just in such a unique position, isn't she? Because it's like, she's so, so famous already. People know who she is. She's got all this money. It's like, if anyone else tried to launch a pop career, they just couldn't do it. Because she's funding it all. She doesn't have the support of her management, but yet she's got a massive platform because she's on Loose Women and she's friends with like Ryland and can go on Big Brother's bit on the side and perform. But what other like other pop stars like when they're starting out can't do that? It's really odd. Like it's an odd way of sort of
Someone coming out of the Brit school who's been trained since they were 16 years old, they haven't got the publicity behind them that she's got for a really crap song. And no offense, Katie, because I do like you a lot, but really crap voice.
Yeah, I just think if she's got a platform and she wants to use it.
Yeah.
If, like, it's their choice to let her on there. They don't have to, like, ultimately. So if they're going to do it.
But my biggest problem with her, right, so the performance, her voice was terrible, but you could tell she was really trying. But it looked like she didn't want to be there. Like, the dancing was so half-assed.
No, I just think she needs...
She looked embarrassed herself.
She's just not a natural mover, and I just wish she has, like... more like, I don't know, lessons or a team around her to help her with that, because I just don't think she's a natural at it.
You know what she needs? Go with you to the pink toothbrush in Essex, couple of shots of tequila, and then let her go. And then she'll be a bit more of a natural.
But she's not shy. Katie Price is not shy. She's not.
No, she isn't.
She says exactly what she thinks. She's like, comes out with these outrageous things on Loose Women all the time. But yeah, put her on the stage. She's like a rabbit in the headlights.
Freezes. Can I ask you quickly before we move on? Celebrities do and sing in careers in general. Who have been the worst offenders, and has anybody actually been able to pull it off? Because I've got one very specific example.
I think soap stars, I think, well, look at Kylie. She's the ultimate example, isn't she?
Yeah.
Someone that, you know, was at the height of their fame and capitalised on that.
Do you think that's who Katie Price is trying to emulate?
But I'm trying to think of some bad examples. I mean, Kim Kardashian had a bit of a shot at pop.
Kim Kardashian's song, Jam, Turn It Up. I mean, I can't say anything good about that song, because it's so bad. I mean, that is an awful, awful song. For God's sake, listen to it. Once you're done listening to this, Kim Kardashian, Jam, Turn It Up, the worst song of all time. But I absolutely love it. No pre-drinks is complete without it, as far as I'm concerned. If I haven't heard Jam, Turn It Up, then I'm not ready to turn it up or dance to any other jams. What I will say is, if nobody's going to name her name, I'm going to say Paris Hilton's album, self-titled Paris, is one of the finest offerings of the 2000s. And I'm that's the hill I'm ready to die on. You don't seem convinced.
I just don't think I've listened to it.
Oh my God, Stars Are Blind,
obviously.
Oh, okay.
Stars Are Blind,
yeah,
right?
But I just haven't listened to the album.
Oh, mate. This weekend,
okay.
Get on it.
Okay.
There's some really, really good. I mean, there's some shite on there as well, let's be real. But, oh, there's some good songs. And including a cover of Rod Stewart's Do You Think I'm Sexy?
No.
Yeah. When you thought the best song of all time couldn't get any better, Paris Hilton throws a hat into the ring.
That is something I need to listen to immediately.
Yeah, and that's actually all I have to say on the matter. Great album. Let's move on. I want to talk to you because it's a big week this week in my personal life. As a homosexual man in his 20s living in London, I'm obviously very excited about the RuPaul's Drag Race final, which is airing imminently. We still don't know when it's going to be out in the UK, though, which means I'm going to be spending the next few days basically in an underground bunker to avoid spoilers.
You will be. You're living in a premiere inn.
although, actually, yes, due to circumstances in my personal life, I am currently living in a premiere inn. The point is that I'm going to be avoiding spoilers like the plague, basically, which begs the question. I want to talk to you about spoilers in general. Are people too precious when it comes to spoilers on the telly? And how precious are you personally?
If there's something that I'm going to be really boring now. MasterChef Final, for example, and I want to know the winner.
Do you get pissy about the MasterChef Final if people spoil it for you?
I don't get pissy because I know to avoid, I will avoid Twitter, etc. until I can watch it myself. So I'm, Daniel is judging me so
hard. I'm not judging you. I didn't realise that people tweeted about MasterChef. So, because I feel like, but then I just literally follow gay guys who tweet about RuPaul's Drag Race all the live long day. So I guess if I was following MasterChef fans, yes, then that would be what I was avoiding.
Yeah, no, of course. And people like, I think there's a certain type of people who will actively try and ruin any sort of spoilers for you. It's like films.
Yeah.
Like people will actively try and ruin anything. I think the worst spoilers for me was like, okay, Harry Potter. Like when all the books came out and like Dumbledore died and things like that. The moment
Dumbledore
dies.
Spoiler
alert.
if you've not read them now.
I just think people were like desperate to be the person to ruin it for you.
Yeah. And that's really shitty, isn't it?
It's just like, come on, guys. Be a good human. Let's not tell the world that Dumbledore's dead yet, shall we? But there's a time buffer. Like, what is the time?
Well,
buffer?
That's what I wanted. So let's say, Ash, you've just said that years on, we're now allowed to say that Dumbledore dies in Harry Potter.
Likewise, with the Star Wars spoiler, I personally think it's acceptable to say what happened in The Force Awakens.
Is that episode 7?
Yeah.
Is that when that big thing happens in the middle of The Force Awakens? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't personally. What? There may be it. See, this is it. I don't actually. This is like we're almost at episode 8, and I still feel a bit like.
I definitely feel tentative around that.
Yeah,
guys, we've moved on. Surely, people know by now if they want to know.
I feel if you've not been to the cinema and paid for your ticket, you waive all rights for spoilers in my eyes. Like, so if I haven't gone to the cinema, and I've like offered up my money to see this film, I then can't moan about the fact that when it comes out on DVD, I already know that someone's died. But I do feel like precious about not spoiling it for other people because I'm worried about the backlash.
Oh, so yours is more self-preservation rather than actually considering the people's feelings.
We
the Ash Percival story.
we obviously like spoil shows every day. We write spoiler stories all the time. Like, you know, we'll write EastEnders spoilers of stuff that's coming up. Then we'll write a review of Broadchurch, who the killer was in Broadchurch.
Yeah, but that's different. You put like in the title is like headline spoiler EastEnders.
But
blah,
you
blah.
Would be surprised at the amount of people that get annoyed because you've written a spoiler.
Also, Ash, what I will say is though, if let's say there's a like Broadchurch, let's say Broadchurch. If you haven't seen Broadchurch the night before and one of us has to write a story about Broadchurch, what happened, you will say, can I please not write that because I haven't seen it yet. So you do obviously care a little bit about spoilers. But I mean, that's the next day though, right?
Yeah.
So when would be the point when you were like...
But I would actively try and avoid it. And I know that stuff is going to be out there and it's going to be written. So I don't think that the people like us writing about stuff are responsible. You know, if you haven't like sat down and watched a show at 9 p.m. that night, you've waived kind of the right to...
No, exactly. Like, people are going to be talking about it, obviously. So it's up to me to, like, avoid Twitter. That's where I'm going to see it. But it's like, it's when people just tweet, Dumbledore's dead. Like, without any sort of heads up.
But what about, like, in just life? What about if me and Francesca are sat in the office talking about... Or me and... Let's actually say it. What if me and Ash are just sat in the office talking about what happened on MasterChef last night... And you come in and accidentally overhear Francesca, and suddenly your whole MasterChef night of cooking along at home and discussing.
Yes, that is what I do.
Ogling Greg Wallace, which is what I imagine goes on. That's cancelled. So what? Do you think that's bad if we're talking about it in real life?
No, that's life. I feel like anyone gets fussy about that needs to have a bit of a reality check. Like, it's on you. If you miss it at 9 p.m, whenever it's on, that's on you.
I think if you're, like... So the difference between kind of what we do with, like, soap spoilers, for example, we preview kind of the storylines that are coming up. And I think with storylines like that, you have an obligation. And we certainly do this on the site, and that's kind of what we agree to do. But... we clearly signpost that this is a spoiler, and if you don't want to know, like, don't come near it. I think with shows that have, like, aired, if you've, like, missed out...
Nice game. Yeah, fair game.
With big stuff as well. I mean, with Game of Thrones, we'll literally be like, in the headline, spoiler alert, Game of Thrones. Then the first line will be, a big shock coming in Game of Thrones. And then literally the fourth line, I will be like, there is a big... above the picture, I'll be like, there is a big spoiler coming up, so if you scroll down now, this is on you. We've warned you 100 times. And then we'll still get complaints saying, like, how dare you ruin Game of Thrones for me? Like,
you've clicked on it and you've got 4 paths in.
I mean, literally, don't go in here. Well, like neon lights of spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, it's quiz time. Okay, so I want to talk very quickly before we start about dating shows, because there's an absolute deluge of dating shows at the moment. Paul O'Grady's brought back Blind Date to lukewarm reviews. Scarlett Moffat's bringing back Street Mate.
Looking forward to that.
TBC. And then there's loads of new ones as well. ITV2 have just announced Dress to Impress, where hopefuls choose a partner based on an outfit picked out for them. And then there's Love in the Countryside, which focuses on, surprisingly, love in the countryside. So, inspired by all of these new dating shows and old ones being brought back, we're going to look back on some of the more outlandish and creative dating shows that have graced the screen in this week's quiz. So, inspired by last week's Glastonbury or Nastonbury.
Still terrible.
I still maintain that that is a fantastic pun. This week, it's dating show or dating hell no. Hell no rhymes with show.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. No, I'm standing by it. So I've got a list of 11 shows here. Some are real and some are fake. What I want you to do is tell me whether they're real or fake. Francesca, as our guest, you're going to go first. So I've got the box here full of numbers. Each number corresponds to a dating show. Nice. I love a bit of coordination.
Okay, we are number 6.
Number 6. Okay, so this is... I'm just going to read you a short bio and you can tell me if it's real or fake. The X Effect. Two exes spend a weekend together at a romantic resort hotel while watched by their current partners. At the end of the experience, the exes decide whether they want to pursue their current relationships or get back with their exes. I think X on the Beach is a warped version of X on the Beach, to be honest.
So what I was going to say, true, like real or
real
not
or fake? Or you can say dating show or dating hell no if you really want to validate my terrible puns.
Can I just say, if this TV show hasn't been made, it should be made. I'd watch that.
Dating hell no.
Thank you for joining in, but you are incorrect. The X Effect was a genuine real show.
Yeah, it ran. In the UK?
No. In the US on MTV. Ran for 3 seasons. All right, Ash.
I have got number 11, which you have written in words.
I don't know why I did that. Farmer Wants a Wife.
Ah, I actually know the answer to this because I watched it. It was hosted by Louise Redknapp on Channel 5. So it's dating show.
I mean, I don't feel bad for not knowing that because that says more about Ash than it does me, so.
Like, I would rather not know. Yeah. I feel like I've won by not knowing. Yeah, Farmer Wants a Wife. Everything Ash has just said was real. It was billed as The Simple Life Meets The Bachelor. A rural farmer takes his pick from 11 city girls, putting them through their paces with a string of farming challenges.
Oh, I mean, I think much like Francesca, I think I only watched the first episode rather than the whole series.
Really, it sounds so compelling. All right, Francesca. Still got it all to play for, mate. You can still bring it back.
Four.
Number four. Puppy love. One hopeful gets the chance to choose from 3 prospective dates, choosing the one he wants based on how well their dog gets along with his own pooch.
I'm going to go with... where in the world is this?
I'll read it again. Puppy love. One hopeful gets the chance to choose from 3 prospective dates, choosing the one he wants based on how well their dog gets along with his own.
Dating show. Oh, God. Have I got
I'm
it
afraid
again?
It's dating hell no,
oh,
right? But
God.
So I've made up these myself. Do you not think that would be a really good programme?
You're really,
be
good,
really
with,
good.
You should
one.
Work at ITV, Daniel.
Yeah.
Seriously. So if anyone's listening to this, don't fucking steal my idea because I came up with this first, all right?
I think that's a
recorded,
good idea.
It's on film, on tape, whatever. Don't go stealing my idea. Puppy love. A dog dating show. People love dating shows and people love dogs, right?
Yeah,
I think they're
sure.
doing
I
a dog special of Blind Date this series, actually.
Oh, that makes me want to die. Whereas Puppy Love, this fictional dating show that I've invented, sounds like a hoot. So yeah, no points for
Why
you.
I'm so
but,
bad at these quizzes.
It's because I'm so good at them. Ashley.
Number eight.
It's the Francesca dating show. No, that's not a real thing. That would be...
Needed.
You said it, babes.
You can go on fictional dating show Puppy Love when it's eventually commissioned. Have you got a dog? You haven't, have
I'm
you?
I'm joking, no.
No, I would never go on that. Anyway, so Ash, this is the one you've got. Potluck. Harry Potter devotees meet one another at a Hogwarts-like environment where they must try and pair up with another pothead and cast a spell...
I'm sorry, a pothead.
...of love. Potheads are what Harry Potter fans are called, all right? It's not just weed smokers.
See, I feel like you've made this up because I don't feel like pothead is a genuine term.
Pothead is a genuine term.
That's Potter fans.
Oh, they're all fucking weird, man.
did you not hear me talk about Dumbledore literally 20 years ago?
You're weird. I'm going to go not... I don't know who commissioned that. So I'm going to go not real.
Well, not real, but also my feelings are hurt because that's an amazing idea for a show. Francesca, you're a Harry Potter fan. Would you watch that show?
Yeah.
So it would be basically like Love Island, but except instead of an island, it would be like a fake Hogwarts.
Yeah, and then they can see what house they're in. I can see it going somewhere.
Oh,
yeah,
that would be really good. And then we could have like a Romeo and Juliet situation with two people from different houses.
Yes.
Do you know what? It would be full of nerds.
Okay.
Wow. All right, Francesca, this is this is first point of the game. I know you've got it in you.
Ten.
Married by America. 5 men and 5 women agree to get engaged on the spot after being matched up by family members and viewers at home through a public vote.
That sounds very early noughties.
So it's like Married at First Sight, but not married.
So all like Married at First Sight meets American Idol.
I'm going to go with a dating show.
Dating show is correct.
Yay!
It was on Fox in the early 2000s, Ash. So well done for correctly guessing the time period.
Number 5.
I want to marry Harry. 12 women are led to believe they're battling it out for the affections of Prince Harry, though it's actually a lookalike imposter.
Again, it's a show I've seen. It was on ITV2.
Were you the lookalike imposter?
It was me. You are correct. Had to dye my hair for the role, but, you know, it is a show.
Yes, it is a show. And actually, all of the girls involved knew that it wasn't Prince Harry, but for some reason, they were still led to believe that it wasn't.
I would have nailed that one.
You've got 3. Francesca, you've got 1. So.
I would have nailed that one as well. Okay. 3.
Prison romance. After being matched by producers, 2 complete strangers spend 24 hours in an abandoned prison while their every move is filmed in the hopes that the experience can spark romance.
That sounds dark, man.
So is it an actual prison?
It says here, in an abandoned prison. So it's like a former prison that is now disused.
It sounds like Walking Dead meets like...
meets Dating in the Dark.
No Show.
That is correct. That is a program that I invented.
Because you watched Bad Girls as a child, didn't it? Obsessed with prisons.
I love how you went for Bad Girls rather than contemporary option, Orange is the New Black.
which I actually think is not the best contemporary option. I think Wentworth is better.
There we go.
Look at Ash. You're so sassy during drama. The quiz.
All right, well, Ash.
Only because I'm winning.
Congratulations. You are the winner of the reality TV quiz. You
and
win.
Life.
You win the opportunity to be on season 2 of I Want to Marry Harry, where Harry Styles lookalike battles out for the romance of... I can't be asked to finish that sentence. That is all we've got time for this week. So don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. We'll be back next week. Laters!